Good morning, everyone. It's good to be with you today. I'm led to a message today. I'd like to speak to you from the book of Romans, the first chapter, the 16th through the 32nd verse. Before we get into the scripture that we'll be using today, I've got some things I want to bring to your attention, and I am led to this message, and what is causing me to be led in this direction is what I am seeing within the religious institutions within this country. Not heathens who don't even profess to know the one true God, but people who claim to be religious. This book that I'm using, the Holy Bible, was written for you, the child of God, not to heathen, for they regard it as rubbish. Saul of Tarsus, who later became the Apostle Paul, heard the gospel preached by Stephen from the Old Testament scriptures, but it did nothing for him. He held the coats of those who stoned Stephen to death for preaching the gospel. Afterward, he requested permission to go to Damascus to arrest Christians and bring them back to Rome to be imprisoned and persecuted. Hearing the gospel did nothing for Saul but make him more determined to persecute Christians. This is not my story, brothers and sisters. It's recorded in the book of Acts, the 7th chapter, and the 59th verse. The first verse of the 8th chapter of Acts reads like this: And Saul was consenting unto his death, that's Stephen's death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. You see, Saul consented to the death of Stephen. And Scripture says there was a great persecution of the church. I'm here to tell you that there is a great persecution of the church today. I'm comfortable in saying that the persecution is greater today than it was in Saul's time. After all, the church continued to grow then, but now it is regressing. Verse 3 says that Saul made havoc of the church and committed men and women to prison. Verse 4 says that the apostles went everywhere preaching the word. I want to ask you first, if the preaching did not touch Saul of Tarsus, the apostle Paul, then what did? And second, why were they preaching the gospel? To answer the first question, what touched Saul of Tarsus in order for him to be converted to a child of God? We need to look at Acts 9:1-16. And the scripture reads as such: And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, that was being a Christian, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand, those men that were with him led him by the hand, and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus, named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem, and here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, For he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles, and kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now, does that sound like the preaching of the gospel converted the Apostle Paul? No, it was the miraculous work of the Holy Spirit. Every regeneration, every conversion experience is by the same means, brothers and sisters, no exceptions, by the working power of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. This was Paul's rebirth. He was born again on the Damascus Road. He was not saved there. He was saved when Christ died on the cross. Salvation is not regeneration. It is not the new birth. Christ's death on Calvary saved his people from their sins. That's the victory, brothers and sisters. Now, in God's own time, he will awaken each redeemed child into the new birth by the Holy Spirit. Paul was not saved on the Damascus Road. He was born again, regenerated on the Damascus Road. If God, in his own time, regenerates his children, then why preach the gospel, is what people say. Why did the apostles go everywhere preaching the gospel? That is easily answered by what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ told one of his greatest preachers in John, the 21st chapter, the 15th through the 17th verse. Three times he told Simon Peter, "Feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep." The mission of the messenger was to feed the sheep and not to make sheep out of goats. It is the same message today, to tell of the good news. Tell them how Christ came to atone for the sins of his people. Tell them how he completed that mission and how they are eternally secure. Tell them that the war is over, that Christ fought that battle on the cross and won, and now they have been born again, regenerated, and what they need to do is to study the scriptures to find out what purpose God has for them on this earth until Christ returns. You know, I've read of happenings after World War II of soldiers who were on remote islands and they were still fighting the war because they had not heard the good news. The war is over. The victory's been won. You don't have to fight anymore. 2 Timothy 3 and 16 through 17 says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." That is what I want to give you today, words that are profitable for the child of God. I can't make the child of God. He's already been made by higher power than I. He needs to be fed from the inspired word of God, those things that will be profitable to him, so that he will be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. What did God do with the Apostle Paul after his Damascus Road conversion? He sent him to Ananias, a man of God, who could give Paul the good news. And straightway, Paul preached that Christ was the Son of God in the synagogues. Now, I must get to our text. And that's Romans 1, 16 through 32. This scripture in Romans that I am going to read is some scripture that I think we all need to really take notice of. And if I had a thought today, and if what I've had on my mind, and especially in studying this scripture and studying what is happening within our society and this country today, you know, I think this is a country without morals. I think we're seeing this come true more and more every day. Every day that time unfolds right in front of us here in this country, we are a country without morals. Let's read the scripture. As the Apostle Paul penned this scripture and it was given to him by God, we want to take this to heart. We want to look at it in its entirety. The book of Romans, the first chapter, the 16th through the 32nd verse, and the Word of God reads, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever, and amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise all the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now, Paul says in verse 16 that he's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And he, in his life, he certainly proved that to be true. After all, he was persecuted everywhere he went. He was imprisoned and suffered greatly for preaching the gospel. In all he suffered, he still was not ashamed to stand up for God's truths and proclaim the gospel of Christ. Dear child of God, I am convinced that that is one of the biggest problems today. Christians are ashamed of the gospel. They have no backbone to stand up for the truth. Our older generation has set a terrible example for our youth, and I see no recovery unless the hand of God intervenes. The true gospel of Christ proclaims what the child of God already has, not what the natural man can obtain by his own merits. God allows His children to understand what they already have, not what they must do in order to obtain salvation. Natural man has no ability to understand the things of God. He must be empowered by the Holy Spirit in the new birth first before he can understand such things. In the book of 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter and the 16th verse, it proclaims this truth. If you'll look at that when you get a chance, brothers and sisters. People today are too busy trying to preach to dead men in order to get them saved eternally. The gospel can save no one eternally. That mission has already been accomplished. And the suggestion that it takes man's permission to allow God to save him demeans Christ and his finished work on the cross. It's no wonder our youth are so confused about the truth. They are being taught that man must proclaim the gospel to them before they can be saved eternally. Man has put his own interpretation on the scriptures and has manipulated our youth to believe that it is all right to believe and do things that are contrary to God's word. Our youth have been subjected to abominations of the world and assured by religious leaders that it's all right to embrace these things. Our youth are being told to make a decision to get saved eternally as insurance against future decisions they may make that will lead them into lifestyles that are abomination to God. You've heard the expression, license to steal. Well, this is a license to sin. Our youth are being given the impression that if they Just make a decision to get saved. They don't have to worry about anything they might do. There is no urging them to repent or to live a moral life. Just make a decision to get saved and you'll be all right. Do you see what this kind of thinking does for young minds? This is the thought for my message today. A nation without morals. There is no moral right or wrong. Just as long as you make a decision to get saved. Instead of proclaiming this kind of message that allows young minds to drift off on the broad road of destruction, why not proclaim the truth that leads to the straight and narrow way? The Apostle Paul proclaims these truths and tells us that the just shall live by faith. Are you living by faith in God that this gospel is truth? Or are you living by faith in some man who tells you that the immoral lifestyles of this day and age are acceptable? Now, here in verse 18 is my greatest fear for this nation. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Ungodly men holding the truth in unrighteousness. We are going on now to find out what these untruths are. Paul says these truths were manifest in these men, so they have no excuse. What is man's excuse today? Paul says these men have been shown the invisible things of him from the creation of the world, the invisible things of God from the creation of the world. What is man's excuse in allowing all the things that are mentioned in the next verses? As we look at these verses, you answer this question for yourself. Paul says in verse 21 that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. They weren't even thankful. They became vain in their imaginations. If God is to be worshipped in truth, then God must get all the glory. If man does anything to contribute to eternal salvation, then God doesn't get all the glory. The Bible says, to God be the glory, and in everything give the glory to God. God says in Isaiah 48:11, I will not give my glory to another. In most worship services today, people are not glorifying God, but glorifying man. Verse 25 says, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Now, you determine if these four verses, 24, 26, and 28, are not the scariest part. It says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust, one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. That word convenient means becoming or fitting. Paul is talking about God's children doing things that are not becoming or fitting to their walk as a Christian. Is Paul talking about another time, another generation? No, he's talking about all generations. This scripture says that God gave them up to vile affections. He gave them up to a reprobate mind. Do you think that is what is happening today? I'm asking that question. I think that is exactly what is happening. This country is indicating that Paul's assessment here is correct. By the laws that have been passed concerning prayer and Bible reading, abortion and homosexual unions, and there hasn't even been enough outcry to keep it from happening, brothers and sisters. Yes, I think that is exactly what is happening today. God has turned many of his people over to reprobate minds. Scripture says these things are not convenient. They are not fitting, and not fitting a child of God. God definitely does not approve of them. They are abominations, but our country has abandoned all morals. We are teaching children in our schools about alternative lifestyles that the Bible says are not convenient, not fit for a moral person to do. Our kids are watching programs on TV that are promoting homosexual unions as no different than traditional marriage, which God set up from the beginning. The minds of our young children have been subjected to these immoral things that the Bible speaks of as an abomination. While the preachers and mom and dad sit at home and watch this corrupt society pass in front of their faces on TV and proclaim, at least he, God himself, saved. What kind of salvation are you talking about, preachers? What kind of salvation are you talking about, mom and dad? It can't be eternal salvation. Eternal salvation is by grace. One cannot merit it by making a decision and getting himself saved. I've never understood that phrase. I got saved. Jesus saved all of his children on the cross, and sometime between conception and death, each child of God will experience a new birth, a regeneration, where the Holy Spirit awakens him to who he really is, an adopted child of the living God. Jesus, now, he told Nicodemus, this backs it up 100%. Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He doesn't say, now listen now, he doesn't say get born again. Man doesn't get to do anything in the new birth. Man is passive, while the Spirit comes like the wind. Man doesn't know where it comes from or where it goes. When the Spirit takes up its abode in the heart of a man, that man is awakened to his true identity. He is and always has been a child of God. The only difference is that now he knows who he is. As a child of God, he must listen to that preached word and study God's word to learn more about what it means to be a child of God and what God expects of his children. In the verses in today's text, Paul is talking to God's children. They are doing things that are not becoming to a child of God, ungodly and unrighteous things, and they are without excuse. They know better. Paul wants them to be saved from these unrighteous things. But the salvation that Paul is talking about, and the thing that I am trying to get across, is that Paul is not talking about eternal salvation here. He's talking about a salvation, a deliverance from ungodly practices that are not fitting for a child of God in this world. He's talking about a deliverance from ungodly and unrighteous practices that will save a child of God from heartache and troubles and trials, and save a nation and people from God's wrath. Christians must stand up and proclaim that these things are wrong, and they must proclaim so loudly that the lawmakers will refuse to let these laws be passed. Our preachers and parents must teach our children about these immoral practices and what the consequences will be. We must teach our children what verse 24 says, that is, through the lust of their own hearts, and that they are dishonoring their own bodies between themselves. That's not my words, that's scriptures. Don't pat them on the back and say, it's okay, God will understand. God won't understand. He demands. He demands obedience. And he punishes the disobedient. Look at Sodom and Gomorrah. They were committing the same abominations that are being committed today. You can read about it in Genesis 19, the 1st through the 29th verse. God's wrath came down on those two cities for the abominable sins they were committing. Look at the time before the flood now. It was the only other time in the history of mankind that governments sanctioned same-sex unions. In that day, every imagination of man was evil continuously. God's wrath came down upon them too, brothers and sisters. Before we let immorality go any farther, in this country, we need to do what an American mechanic in Michigan did. He got so tired of all of the anti-Christian sentiments that we are seeing that he has emphatically declared that all immoral behavior will not be allowed in his shop. And even though his shop was vandalized, he's still not backing down. This is what all American Christians need to start doing. If we did, the sodomites would shut their mouths and the whole homo agenda would die out. Here are the righteously angry words of this man. Enough is enough. I am a Christian. My company will be run in a way that reflects that. Dishonesty, thievery, immoral behavior will not be welcomed at my place of business. If all of God's children in this country took a bold stand for moral behavior, we would see a change. In the next three verses in our text, Romans 1, verses 29 through 31, Paul enumerates all the abominable, immoral behaviors that God says are not becoming a child of God. The last verse in our text says this, "Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." God's children know the judgment of God. They have been taught about Sodom and Gomorrah. They've been taught about the flood. They know about the ungodliness and unrighteousness that God hates from hearing the preacher and reading their Bibles. But they do these things anyway, even knowing the judgment of God. And that's not all. The next part of the verse says that even though God's children know these things are worthy of death, they do them anyway. And they have pleasure in others who do these vile, detestable things. It appears that this country is headed for judgment. Over the years, the Christian church has been too timid in defending the laws of God. God's children know Him from His creation and from His Word. There is no excuse for Christians allowing this country to get rid of God unless God's children cry out in repentance and turn from the abominations that Paul lists in verses 29 through 31, then I'm telling you today, judgment is going to come. May the Lord bless you in these few words today, brothers and sisters.